B-Pod Studios.
That's an app. For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Bills fans nationwide throwing Santa, breaking tables as video after video goes viral.
Drunkenness, it's insane what I saw.
Take an emotional game, add booze to the mix, and this is what you sometimes get between fans from opposing teams. A fight broke out after the game in the parking lot of the Ralph, right in front of our News 4 camera.
Pepper spray was used. There was lots of drunken behavior, more drunken behavior than I think we've ever heard of at a football game.
Now we'll take a shotgun step, firing down, living on that pass. Intercepted by Devin McCourty. 35-40. 45-50. Some extra pushing and shoving on the stop.
He's throwing the double coverage, kid.
Bolden motions right to left. Takes the jet sweep handoff. Close to left. He's the score. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's the way to play complimentary football. You take it, you stuff it down their throat.
Allen sets up. Throws down the right seam. J.C. Jackson picks it off at the 10-yard line. He runs it down the left side to the 20-25. And Jackson sidesteps out of bounds.
Sweet chucking duck, kid.
The low snap. He's under pressure. Up this block. Punt is blocked by J.C. Jackson. It bounces into the hands of Gordon. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
How about that, Bobby? Special teams.
Matthew Slater with the recovery and the run back for the score.
Ah, how do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar of victory?
Allen rolls right, throws that ball to the side, intercepted. High leaping pick by Jackson.
He can't make a dumber throw than he just made right there. And he's made some of the dumbest that I've seen in an NFL game.
Jamie Collins down the left side. First out of bounds.
Ugg slippers for this whole defense. Boy, did they will you to victory today.
Now, Bills fans were, of course, hoping for a win, but unfortunately, that's not how things turned out here today.
I'd like to have my hopes up, but it's the Patriots, and this is what happens every year.
.95 of Sports Hub, it's Tutcher and Rich. 7:04, we got Joe Murray in this morning. Fred's got the squirts, and it's a big show. There is some big names coming on later on. First of all, of course, it's Merryweather Monday, which is nice. 8 o'clock, we'll have Brandy Merriweather on the show. Also, Bruce Cassidy joins us at 9:20. Season starts Thursday, man.
Yes, in Dallas. That's right.
That's right.
I have a question real quick. Was it Friday, this past Friday, where Zolak predicted that Fred would be out on Monday, or was that last week?
I think it was last week.
It was last week? Yeah. He was off by a week.
Yeah, I think he was off by a week.
Okay.
But either way, I'm sure Fred will be back tomorrow. Bob Soucy also is going to join us, and Jeff Howe in just a few. And you knew it was going to happen yesterday. You knew it. When the offense started struggling and Brady looked lost, first of all, much credit to that defense. They are what we thought they were.
I mean,
that's an excellent defense that the Bills have, and McDermott's done a great job. It's not their fault that they have a crap quarterback. I mean, they're outside of that, they're a pretty good team. But you knew it was going to happen as soon as Brady couldn't find an open receiver, and that is, oh, you miss Antonio Brown now, huh? Oh, you wish you would have kept him. And somebody actually asked Brady during the post-game press conference whether he missed Antonio Brown, and here was his answer.
Tom, I have to ask you, on a day like today where the offense does struggle, is there any part of you that says, man, I wish we had Antonio Brown today?
I mean, that's those types of things aren't, you know, I just got to go out there and do the best job I can do, and I've been trying to do that for 20 years now. So that's what I'll try to do next week. That's what I tried to do this week. That's what I should try to do the week before. And I'm hoping we can go out and do a better job and score more points.
If you could read the little thought bubble in his head.
No.
Yes! Kraft sucked. They should have never gotten rid of him. I hate them for it.
Now,
I'm leaving next year.
The first thing I thought of when I heard that was, that's the Brady equivalent to the now go home and get your effing shine box. But that's the first thing I thought of when Brady's like, I've been in the league for 20 years. I'm going to do basically what I've always done. That's, to me, a nicer way of telling a reporter to get the hell away from
him. Well, we've said this before. Brady and Belichick essentially say the same thing.
But Brady smiles a lot, and that makes him different.
But when reporters leave a Belichick press conference, they feel like they just got scolded. But when they leave a Brady one, they feel like Brady's truly one of their friends. Yeah. So it's just two different methods of saying absolutely nothing.
And it's interesting because in years past, it seemed like it was a Brady Belichick thing.
and Kraft always had Brady's back.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, well, that conversation I had private with Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything from Tom Curran said on his podcast as well is Brady's pissed about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you saw it out there, right? Those receivers weren't. The fact that Dorsett couldn't be in the game on the goal line and Myers is there. I thought he was held on that play. If you watched it, and that's why I thought Brady threw that pass.
But then again, Brady had two seconds to throw the ball into traffic.
Yeah,
but I thought he did it because the guy was being held. Listen, it's a rookie. He's not going to get that call around the goal line. He's not.
I mean, listen, that's a really good defense on the other side, and sometimes you just have a crap game. And Brady had it. Brady had a crap game. That interception was inexcusable. On top of that, I mean, it was just they were everything. Everything seemed off yesterday. And you get a couple games like that a season where
give
you
Buffalo
just go,
credit. The reason they were off is because the Bills. First of all, Patriots offensive line had a horrible day.
They
and
did.
Give credit to the Bills defensive line. That's one thing we found out yesterday is that Bills defense is legit, and the Patriots offensive line was manhandled for, what, three quarters of that game?
Yeah.
If not longer. And there was a reason why Brady had the numbers he did, 18 for 39 for 150 yards, didn't have any time to see anybody.
They can't run the football either.
And they could not run the football at all, which took away play action from him, which the Patriots used very well the first 3 weeks.
Well,
Buffalo's going to be a pain in the ass to play for most of the season, regardless of how bad Josh Allen is.
Speaking of Antonio Brown, right now he's a lot like that dude from the Jersey Boys. Sue you, sue him, sue everybody. Because he is the first player in the NFL history to set to file to file 9 grievances and appeals during the same time period, as he's going after more than $61 million that he believes is owed to him. And if you take a look at the list of the grievances, he wants $215,000 from the Oakland Raiders to appeal the fines that he was given. He wants $29 million in salary guarantees that Oakland owed him. He wants the $1 million signing bonus he was promised from the Raiders. He wants Oakland's unpaid week one salary, which was $860,000. He wants the Patriots' salary guarantee of $1 million, the signing bonus of $9 million from the Patriots, the unpaid week three salary of $64,000, and their unpaid option year in 2020 of $20 million.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And if that wasn't enough, if the NFL happens to discipline Brown and suspend him, which, who knows, it could happen, he could appeal that as well, which would make him the first player in NFL history to have 9 different appeals generated for one season. That sounds like a guy that you want to sign if you're a team and you're looking at that right now. But he also sounds like a guy who actually is going to win a decent amount of those. I don't think he's going to win any of the Oakland ones, and he's not going to win the 2021, but he's going to get that $9 million from the Patriots. Everything I read says that, dude, you played him against Miami, and the minute you did that, you got rid of any kind of the, hey, you know, he was a bad dude, and, you know, we should have, you know, we found out about the civil suit, and, you know, he didn't disclose that to us. Well, you played him after you knew about that. So you have forfeited any kind of, hey, you know, he's a bad dude, so we're trying to get out of this contract. On top of that, he had a nice healthy dose of going bat crap crazy on social media as well this weekend. Baker Mayfield, who, once again, this might be the only time Fred's going to support Antonio Brown in a tweet beef, but Mayfield initially posted a photo of himself on Instagram when he was at Oklahoma with the caption, "Just some undersized walk-on. Keep that same energy."
Ooh. He's J.J. Watt.
The douche chills.
Yeah.
I mean, that's J.J. Watt-esque. You're right.
That's what that is.
I know J.J. Watt's a good guy now because of everything that I
understand. That was vintage Watt before
Rise
the hurricane.
Rise and grind, baby.
Yes,
oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
Vintage Watt.
And so somebody to that picture responded, "Win football games. That speaks louder than these AB-ish style posts." And Mayfield answered, "You're right. Let me call out my teammates and throw a fit about my helmet, then go freeze my feet off," which I think that's kind of funny. To that, Antonio Brown responded, "Should have never been drafted before Lamar Jackson. What a big scam." And after that, he had one more for Mayfield saying, "Sorry ass Chico, keep rolling right. You ain't done nothing in this league. The internet only place you would ever talk to or about me. You know you get beat. Quick slice up some humble pie." And he then later deleted that tweet. But the winner of the weekend would be a post that Antonio Brown made allegedly soliciting for help for his new quest in education as he studies his online courses at, what is it, Central Michigan University?
Yep.
That's right. And he tweeted this: "My English paper due, D-O, by tonight, 12 a.m., need a prof reader, make sure A's and B's."
In other words, please do my paper for me. That's what that is. He's soliciting for someone to write his paper for him.
Me thinks A's and B's?
Yes. That's exactly what that is. I think, make sure it's worth an A or a B.
Well, I mean, I just love the fact
he can't spell the word do. Yeah.
Or how about proofreader? A prof reader.
Well, I think it was might have been hyphenating there or you know, shortening up the word.
Yeah, you just leave the O out of
yes,
proof.
That's correct.
That's how you shorten
yep.
proof. You
that's
put
correct.
Prof reader.
Exactly.
Hashtag Eng303. Ooh, I wonder what those Eng100 courses he passed were. If he's already in 303, that might have not even been your ABCs.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my sweet Lord. My English paper due by tonight. I wonder if anyone got
do,
back
do to you me. Agree? Do you agree he wants someone to write his paper for him?
Oh, sure. Of course he does. Then again, these are online courses, too. Like, what kind of papers do you write in an online course?
Know.
All right, let's go to Jeff on line 5. Jeff, you are on Touch with Rich.
Yeah, guys, what does Guskowski need to do for Bill to bring in anyone to compete with him? Because not only is he missing extra points every week, he's costing me money.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, if you're a better, he's pissing the hell out of you. But I'm going to say it 20 times this morning because there's a lot of people calling for him to be either replaced or for them to bring some competition in. And that is, you know, he's kickers suck. The league sucks. The kickers aren't any good right now. And who are you going to replace him with? He's been really bad on the extra points. I understand that. And maybe, you know, you mentioned, is there something else going on that Guskowski's not in control of and Jake Bailey being the new placeholder?
How much longer do you let this go?
Well, it depends because maybe the reason that you haven't heard any rumblings might be because Belichick knows it's not Guskowski's fault.
Okay. How much longer do you let this go?
Regardless
of whose fault it is.
If he continues
before you make changes, do you wait 2 weeks? Do you wait a month? Do you wait till Thanksgiving? How much longer do you wait?
I just use Mason Crosby as an example, as a guy who missed, what, 4 or 5 kicks last year for Green Bay. He's still around. He worked it out. I still think they believe in this guy, but yeah, it's an issue right now. That's why it's a problem. Like, it's starting to cost us money now, and yeah, you're worried about it down the line. Like, could it cost them a home playoff game?
It almost cost them yesterday's game.
It did.
It almost cost him yesterday's game. All I'm saying is I understand what you guys are telling me. Guskowski is what he is. He's been great for this franchise for many years, and there aren't a lot of options out there. But for a team that's supposed to go to the Super Bowl and more than likely win it, you have to look at this and say, okay, if he continues to miss kicks, you have to bring someone in. You have to get better. And if one thing that's been very true about Bill Belichick during his entire tenure, he is cold when it comes to this kind of thing. You're not getting the job done. If you're not Tom Brady, you're out of here.
Bringing somebody in doesn't inspire a kicker to make more kicks.
I'm talking about finding a guy who can make kicks.
Well, yeah, good luck.
I agree with that. And listen, what are you going to bring Sebastian Janikowski out of retirement? Like, what? No, I'm being serious.
Legatron.
That's what I mean. Like, what are you going to do here? Yeah. There's really no one out there.
No, there isn't. No, and as far as field goals, he's still fine, if not the top, you know, one of the top guys in the league, top half at least. I mean, the extra points, that sucks, but, you know.
It got to a point where the Patriots had fourth down and went for it instead of kicking a field goal of 52 or 53 yards yesterday.
Now, that is true. That is true.
I'm still shocked that in the Super Bowl they decided to kick that field. Still, even though they won and it's over, I'm still shocked they decided to kick that field goal.
All right, let's get Jeff Howe's opinion on all of this, including the Jones hit, whether he thinks he's going to get suspended. Jeff Howe from The Athletic will be on right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's an app. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Bills fans nationwide, throwing Santa, breaking tables as video after video goes viral.
Drunkenness, it's insane what I saw.
Take an emotional game, add booze to the mix, and this is what you sometimes get between fans from opposing teams. A fight broke out after the game in the parking lot of the Ralph, right in front of our News 4 camera.
Pepper spray was used. There was lots of drunken behavior. More drunken behavior than I think we've ever heard of at a football game.
Now we'll get to shotgun step. Firing down the middle, that pass is intercepted by Devin McCourty. 35-40, 45-50. Some extra pushing and shoving on the stop.
He's throwing the double coverage, kid.
Bolden motions right to left, takes the jet sweep handoff. Runs to left, he's the score. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's the way to play complimentary football. You take it, you stuff it down their throat.
Allen sets up, throws down the right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub.
Tusher. I can't believe he did that.
Rich. I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Allen steps. Allen trying to run. Oh, he got clobbered.
They call it a helmet-to-helmet hit on Jonathan Jones. It's a good call by the officials.
But Allen is down.
Well, he may be out cold because he got hit right on the jaw by Jonathan Jones.
That's the first thing that came out of my mouth on the sideline. If one of us did that to 12, we wouldn't have been in the game anymore. There's no...
.985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and it's always good to have our good friend Jeff Howe on the show. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Let's start with that Jonathan Jones hit right there. What did you think of it, Jeff?
I thought Josh Allen initiated the contact, and John Jones was just trying to make a good, solid tackle. It was helmet to helmet, so you understand why there was a flag, but certainly didn't believe there was a need for an ejection. John Jones said after the game several times that there was no malicious intent. I believe him. I mean, he's a good quality kid, and that's not his style.
He barely moved. He didn't lower his head. He definitely didn't point forward. And you're right. It was something that, you know, I see so many young mobile quarterbacks do this, you know, for the last several years. They're just so dumb when it comes to when they're trying to rush. And for the fact that he didn't slide, you know, you see these guys get cracked over and over and over again just by making dumb decisions. And also, by rule, that wasn't an illegal hit, correct? I mean, you had all these refs come out and say, you know, he didn't do anything that by the rule book, if you just went by the rules, would be deemed illegal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the only thing you can really penalize him for is the technicality that it was helmet to helmet. But the form was fine. Josh Allen's a big dude, and he was the one who, again, he initiated that contact. He lowered himself into Jones. He was trying to truck him, and it just, you know, John Jones is, he might be smaller than a lot of defensive players, but he's as well built as anybody his size. So, you know, it was a tough look for Josh Allen, I guess.
All right, let's get to Gostkowski, because that's another fairly concerning development. I mean, four missed extra points in 4 weeks. I believe that surpasses his total for the last two seasons together. He's obviously somebody for years has been nails, and now all of a sudden things have just been strange for him. He sounds as frustrated as anybody. A, what do you think's going on? And B, what do you do? Do you bring in somebody, or does I just don't think that's how it works with kickers. Like, what's your opinion on everything that's happening?
Yeah, it's bizarre, and it's certainly concerning because this is an established pattern at this point. I mean, he had a great game in week one, but other than that, he was shaky at times in the preseason, and now you're talking about three straight games with some kicking issues, and it's the extra points, which makes you think it's a mental issue. I mean, he's probably in his own head, and I don't know why he can't, you know, I think he's just going to ride him. I mean, that's what probably what Belichick is going to do. They gave him the contract this offseason, so he got a ton of guaranteed money. I don't think Belichick is going to go away from him. Belichick came from the school of Bill Parcells, but he's certainly not Parcells in the way that he handles kickers. I mean, Parcells used to have kicker workouts with while the team was in the lunchroom up at the old Foxborough Stadium, so the kickers were actually the kicker on the team was actually watching guys competing and working out for his job while eating lunch. So that was sort of a form of Parcells torture. I don't think Belichick is going to do that to Gostkowski just because that's been his guy for so long at this point, and the money doesn't work either. I mean, I don't think Belichick is going to want to eat that much money by moving on from Gostkowski. And then, you know, the other pertinent topic here is there's a lot of free agent kickers for a reason. I mean, there's not a lot of great ones out there. So if you replace Gostkowski, what are you really getting yourself into? There's no sure thing out there, or else I think this would be an easier solution. I mean, look at what happened to the Bears last year, why their season came to an end. I mean, if you start rummaging through kickers, you could potentially, put your season at risk. And I know the counter argument to that would be, well, Gostkowski is shaky enough as it is, and you don't want a missed kick to end their season off of his foot either. But again, I think you got to go with what you know.
How much longer do you wait if you're Belichick to start thinking about making a move? I understand your point, and it's a very good, well thought out argument, Jeff. But there may come a time where you have to look in the other direction. How long?
No, you're right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, because they work out a ton of guys every single week, and usually the list becomes available by the end of the week of the players they bring in for workouts, and that's always just for, you just want to see if that guy's in shape and so on and so forth. I wouldn't be surprised if they start checking in on kickers just to see what's out there, because, look, if this is a situation that Gostkowski can't self-correct, they do owe it to themselves to at least explore the market. And I still think it's a long shot that Belichick would actually replace him. But yeah, I mean, you got to at least know what's out there.
Okay. The beginning of the, actually it was the preseason. I think it was the final game of the preseason. There was a very good, like whoever was running the cameras or the studio when they were showing one of the kicks that Gostkowski missed, they noticed that Jake Bailey, the new punter, had held the ball laces in or laces out. He'd done it. He pulled a Ray Finkel,
yeah,
nice. and it completely, and it was one that he shanked. Do you think that it might have anything to do with Jake Bailey as to why Gostkowski has been missing all of these as of late?
I don't think so. Gostkowski put it all on himself yesterday when he was asked about it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that the laces in kick, I think that sort of doomed Bailey as a holder from, the court of public opinion, because I get that question a lot. People are wondering if it is the operation and not Gostkowski. And I haven't noticed anything. I mean, I can't pretend to be a kicking expert, but there are so many analysts, former players in the media now. Some of them are kickers, and I think that if this were an operation type of deal, with how much attention there has been on the Patriots, of course, and then Gostkowski, I feel like one of these ex-kickers somewhere would have at least put it out there that said, "Hey, you know what? This isn't actually Gostkowski. This is the operation." But that's not something I can speak to, and all I can go on is what Gostkowski has said, and it's just on him.
All right, Jeff Hout, one of my favorite stories from yesterday was before the game even started, and there was the video of Sean McDermott shooing away two Patriots employees off the side of the field as they were referred to as spies, who were looking onto what the team had been doing. And I guess one of the people who was a Patriots in Patriots gear was identified as Bill Belichick's son, Brian. What was going on there, and what do you think they were up to?
Well, I got a kick out of this for a handful of reasons. Right before that video came out, I also watched Bill Belichick walk down the sideline into the Bills end zone right by that tunnel, because the two teams share a tunnel to get in and out of the locker rooms onto the fields. Bill Belichick went down there and stopped into that end zone and turned around and watched the Bills practice two or three plays. So then McDermott, I guess, and nobody took exception to that. And then McDermott apparently got fired up because Belichick's son did something similar. I mean, I thought that was kind of bush league. But the other side, look, these guys are working out on the same exact field. I mean, Ernie Adams spends his entire pregame workout staring at the opponent. So if these guys are trying to hide something, they're doing it in the wrong place.
Right. They're being awfully conspicuous,
yeah.
Standing right there and staring at them. And also, if you're McDermott, you're like, well, like honestly, yeah. What are you hiding? You know, there's a lot of cameras. There's, you know, however many thousand people watching what you're doing. Why are you getting pissed? So you're, in your opinion, that was a total Bush League move on Sean McDermott's part.
Well, I thought it was just because nobody cared that Bill Belichick did it, and then it was almost like they were picking on his son for doing it a couple minutes later.
What does Brian do? Because I obviously know Steve Belichick, what, you know, his role with the team, but what does Brian Belichick do?
I think it's more of a generalized coaching assistant type of deal.
Spy.
He worked up from the scouting staff into the coaching department about a year and a half ago, I think it was. So, he's sort of working his way up like Steve.
All right. Well, I loved all the conspiracy theories being thrown out there. And I'm like, what do you think they're going to gain? Everyone can see what they're doing on the field. It's not like these guys get some special bird's eye view or some special view that nobody else can see. And they can get specialized information from being there on the field. All right. Well, Jeff Howe, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good week.
Okay, right. You too. All right, we got Brandon Merriweather coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, as I said, Bruce Cassidy's going to be at 9:20. But next, and I don't think I'm overstating this when I say this, we might have the hottest hot take that we've ever had on this show before.
We got the hot take police siren. We're
like,
ready to go.
Like you might not even need a siren. You might need like the air raid signal.
Wow. All right.
I mean, this is...
All right.
Through the roof, how you can possibly ever even think this and write it down and run with it, like an actual arrest might need to be made because of this. So the hot take police is on full alert right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Dutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray's here in studio. Fred's got the hot brown rain going on, so he couldn't come in this morning.
You sure it wasn't last Friday that Zolak predicted he would be out on Monday?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just saying. He stuck the landing on that one.
Zoe does it every Friday. I mean, you know, listen, the guy's sick.
No, he was sure of it.
What are you going to do? The guy's sick. So we've had a lot of arrests with the hot take police before. And most of them have come from guys like, you know, Rob Parker, and you expect that he's going to say something that, you know, Brady stinks, blah, blah,
Max
blah.
Max Kellerman,
you know, he's going to fall off a cliff. We've had a lot of those before. But this might be the hottest hot take we've ever had. And I don't think I'm out of line by saying that. So let's call him
Hot Take Police. Right. Hot Take Police.
It's idiotic. You're a moron.
Now, this is an article from FoxNews.com. But it's just quoting the person who actually made the hot take. So this is not Fox News' opinion, but they've written an article about it. And it is about Tom Brady. And it starts off with this. The real reason why Tom Brady is popular is because, you guessed it, white supremacy.
Oh. All right.
Rob Parker's sitting there going, man, I should have thought of that.
I'm just going to say, Rob Parker's pissed that he didn't think of that.
Everybody on first
Skip
take.
Skip Bayless,
they're
man.
They're taking their pay.
Skip Bayless, Max Kellerman, Shannon Sharp, they all had a chance to get people to listen to them.
Why didn't I think of that one?
Wow.
The real reason why Tom Brady is popular, because you guessed it, white supremacy. Kyle Kuz, a kinesiology professor at the University of Rhode Island, published a book this month.
A Rhode Island guy?
Yeah, URI.
Get Albert back on the phone.
Published a book this month called Making America White Men Great Again. Tom Brady, Donald Trump, and the allure of white male omnipotence in the post-Obama America. He theorized that Brady became popular due to the rise of, quote, white rage and white supremacy, according to Campus Reform. All right. Let me read that again. He theorized that Brady became popular due to the rise of white rage and white supremacy, and I'm sure it had nothing to do with him being, you know, the winningest quarterback in NFL history.
White rage against what?
White rage and white supremacy. Well, listen,
the gigantic influx of black quarterbacks? Is that the problem?
And I believe he was also a quarterback while there were white presidents before Obama. I don't
let the facts stand in the way.
Brady's relationship. Okay, then it says here. Okay, the professor highlights a 2015 Under Armour commercial, which depicts thousands of Tom Brady's working out and tells the audience to rule yourself. You remember that commercial? Like a
yes.
field full of Tom Brady's.
Yes.
Koo says the commercial, quote, would not seem out of place in Leni Riefenstahl's infamous Nazi propaganda film, Triumph des Willens. Kuz told Campus Reform it was this specific commercial in 2015 which drove him to analyze Brady further. Because Tom Brady is the one who, like, thinks of the ideas of all these commercials. Like, he's the one who actually said, hey, you know what? I've got a great idea for a commercial. Thousands of me in a field. So he goes, quote, I decided to research Brady's public performance of their white masculinities and how they connect with broader debates about race and gender politics after a student in one of my classes brought the Under Armour commercial to my attention and it piqued my interest. Kuz also hammers home the point of who Brady surrounds himself with outside of football.
Jeez, let me guess. He mentions the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, Joe Murray specifically,
well
who
done.
He takes
God.
To the Kentucky
well
Derby
done.
Each year. He told the website that because he brings mostly white teammates to the game, quote, it tells more of a particular story about the racial company he chooses to keep. Quote, it is a vision of Brady as a wealthy white man who unapologetically enjoys and has even made a habit out of spending time with other wealthy white men who treasure time, quote, with the boys all others.
Who are his business partners?
I don't know. Michael Strahan?
Alex Guerrero.
Alex Guerrero. Michael
who's
Strahan.
The other guy? What was the guy who did the
Deepak Chopra?
Deepak Chopra.
Oh, or his son, Gotham Chopra.
Gotham Chopra. All rich white men.
They're actually really good.
Nailed it.
Oprah, remember? He's friends of
that's
Tom
right.
knows Oprah.
That's right. Oprah knows Tom.
Well, Oprah knows Tom.
Yeah, but he's not really friends with Oprah. He's friends with Jim Gray. And Jim Gray
right.
knows
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom.
That's
Oprah
right.
knows my wife.
That's right.
We're all friends. So why not have a dinner?
See, Jim,
so that's what that was.
Jim Gray is the foray into ethnic friends.
Sure.
Because you think Jim Gray, you think someone who's obviously well-rounded.
Sure.
So yes, it is a vision of Brady as a wealthy white man who unapologetically enjoys and even has made a habit out of spending time with other wealthy white men who treasure time, quote, with the boys over all others, he said. Going to the Derby, Kuz added, quote, suggests his performance of white masculinity shares much in common with Donald Trump's because most of the Derby's attendees include elite white people. The professor, a New York native who received a doctorate from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, also cites Brady's failure to deny. Okay, I mean, now it's getting stupid. It also cites Brady's failure to denounce Trump, whatever, and his intense diet as evidence of how his white masculinity is repeatedly constructed. His diet? So now you're saying because he follows the TB12 diet, he's a white supremacist?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's how I read it.
Am I wrong in that this is not the hottest take in the history?
Well, I know Tom.
Yes, I know you know Tom. Oprah knows Tom.
Stedman knows Tom.
Yep, and you don't know any
Oprah
white people.
Knows my
black
wife.
People.
We're all friends.
And none of them are minorities except for,
so
yes, that's right.
That's right.
So, I mean, is this the hottest take in the history of the hot take?
Yeah,
please?
No, that's a winner.
Is there any question?
No.
This is hot. Rich, I have to tell the audience, if anyone is a student
take,
of this man, I need to hear. I need to hear what this guy actually does for, like, Like, what classes?
What are the books has he written?
Yeah, like, what else is he doing? Are there any people from URI?
What are some of the other manifestos that he has penned?
This is my favorite of the people who are actually trying to defend Brady right now. Well, hey, didn't Brady bring Jacoby Brissett to the Derby, too?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm sure the press
room. Don't waste your time.
Didn't he marry a Brazilian woman?
That doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. That is remarkable. That not only did he have this idea, he spent, you got to figure, six.
He wrote like
nine,
a book on it.
Six
about
to nine
how Brady
months,
is the. About Brady
formulating this
white
idea,
supremacy.
Fleshing it out, passing it through an editor. Like, you know, no, we're going to have to rewrite that. Oh, we need.
The name of the article is Tom Brady's Popularity Tied into the Rise of White Rage and White Supremacy, Professor says. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I'm curious he what Brendan Merriweather would think about
wait,
this.
He teaches at URI. Fine institution.
Brandon, is Tom Brady a white supremacist? How great would it be if somebody actually asked him that at, like, press today? Tom, there's a professor who says that you're the cause of white supremacy. Do you care to comment? Oh, I would just... I mean, can you imagine that? Like, that's, like, the one time that I wish Tom Brady would, like, snap. As, like, completely calm as he's been, can you imagine if someone actually brought that up to him? Can you comment on this book? I actually have them. I'll read you a quote from it. And then they go on. Why do you not bring any black people to the Kentucky Derby with you? Oh, this is, I mean, oh, man. I guess he wanted the world to look at him. And then there you go. You got your
10 minutes.
There it is. You will not be able to have a hotter hot take than this. All right. Well, let's Brandy Bauer is going to be on in just a moment. We'll get his opinion on whether Tom Brady is a white supremacist, according to this professor.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Situations.
Austin's home for sports. Let's go. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We have Joe Murray in studio, who I'm very happy was finally won a bet. As I said, this isn't it's not all their fault because last week I faded them because I was just angry. But
you've learned your lesson.
We're getting back there.
That's right. We're getting back. We're moving back up. I'm only 700 in the hole. I was 1,000, but I won onto it was a bet that Joe recommended that I take, and that was the. Will somebody throw a dildo on the field during the Bills game? Now, of course, it was not televised, but there was a credentialed reporter from SB Nation who reported that it did indeed happen. I think it was after Josh Allen was knocked out of the game.
So we don't need a picture of this. We're just going with this report.
I'm going with it.
I understand you're a friend of the show, and you don't want to piss off the talent over there. But
no, listen, I always want to be fair is fair, but I would think that, and there's a reason, as we said, that kind of bet only, there's a limit, and 300 was the limit that you could
would
bet.
Would you have gone more?
No. I would.
I was just going to say, you're betting the limit. You make it sound like you were so confident that you would have gone more.
No. I wouldn't have gone more. Like, I'm not. You have to understand the difference between Fred and I is Fred like wants to spread it around. That's a good way to actually make money. To me, I like the thrill of putting everything that I've got on one game.
Is that the smart thing to do, Joe Murray?
It's not.
No, it's not. It's not the smart thing at all.
And again, what I appreciate is you guys have us on every week. We get to give picks and talk football. But Fred's validating like what we're doing on the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the fact
that
he's up $2,000 in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it's doing pretty well.
But then again, in fairness, he gave you $4,000 to gamble with.
Yes, but you look at it, though. I mean, and he's if you lose a game, you got to pay the vig.
The return on the investment. Is what? I mean,
well, it's 25% last week, so what is it? 75%?
Yeah. I mean, I think that might be the way to go if you want to make money.
So when we were watching that show that HBO did, I forget what it was called, the one that was the 4-episode thing where it was about gambling and legalized gambling in Vegas and all that stuff, the one thing that we learned is that if you're an over 50% sports gambler, then you're doing good. Like, I mean, that's like
the Wade Allen Roots of the world that stick 53%.
The Bankroll Boys, legitimately, over the last couple of weeks, you've been over 70%, haven't you?
We honestly, we're not trying. How sustainable is
70%? I'll blow your horn. I don't care. I'll do it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're happy about it. You know, to Barry Horowitz, pat on the back, wrestling term there. We had over 8,000 downloads this week, which is the most in the media. Like, we got that in 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Toucher and Rich, you guys have helped us out big time. And
you don't have to keep thanking us.
No, but what I'm saying is we're part-time guys trying to do this.
I'm not Fred. I'm not looking for the thanks.
No, but what I'm saying is, you know, we're part-time guys. Like, we get crap all the time. Oh, why? Like, I worked a one-hour shift this weekend at the radio.
That's
if you're making all this money, why are you working a one-hour shift? It's like, hey, we're trying to make it work here. It's just it's not legal here yet. And in 2020, when this thing happens, hopefully we can open it up a little bit.
You're getting all these downloads without gambling being legal here. Just wait till it is. Then we'll see.
Yeah.
Everything's going to take off for you.
Isn't New Hampshire like going
to
be?
So New Hampshire's next. It's already been passed. Like, I could probably go to the local, whatever, Salem's, like, whatever market up there, gas station, probably put it.
It'd be like fireworks. You just go over the border, you do your business,
well,
you
can't
come
buy
back.
Vapes here now. So, I mean, you might as well go
here
up there
we go.
And get it, you know?
So,
I
guarantee you the Encore is ready to go the second.
Sure.
Because,
yeah.
A matter of fact, I think that they designed that sports bar that they have
upstairs
to immediately switch some of those screens as soon as it becomes available to the boards that have all the odds and everything. I guarantee you they're going to turn that into
Massachusetts is making a killing right now in marijuana. Like, imagine what's going to happen with sports betting.
Oh, it's going to be, dude, it's insane. It's going to be insane.
They're going to be, people just be there all the time. Like, you will be at the Encore Saturday, Sunday. I'll go there for MAC football games on Tuesday night. Like, I will be there. We should just put a studio there. I'm serious. I'm, like, dead serious.
We've talked about this.
We should just have a studio there, and hopefully we can get some, like, UFC fights there, boxing fights.
Sure.
Like Kentucky Derby for the day there.
I'd
like,
go. Sunday.
Big Celtics games? Like, oh, my God. Bruins games?
We've been talking about, you know, our we do it once a year, like Christmas thing. And last year we went to, like, I think we went to Empire and ended up going to the Grand and stayed a little
bit
later.
That's right.
I'm thinking this year maybe we do something over there and Blinky drinks at the Memoir afterwards.
All right.
Would you be in?
Oh, yeah. I'd be in.
We got to help that bankroll out so you can kind of put some more.
See, that's what we used it on last year, all the bankroll. Okay, so back to just, I completely strayed from what I was originally going to talk about with the Bills. So the people threw us on the field. I was somewhat disappointed with the pregame reports of Buffalo Bills fans out front. I was not inundated with people who were jumping onto tables and the stuff on fire. But there was one thing that I did find this weekend that I just thought was so Buffalo Bills. Now, this isn't from yesterday. This is from a couple years ago. But it just, if there's anything that says Buffalo Bills, it's this.
Well, Hannah, we all know what kind of Monday this is going to be tomorrow after Buffalo fans get hit with not one, but two disappointments in one day. Fans first get a disappointment with that nail-biting loss to New England. Then we find out Bill fans didn't break the loudest NFL stadium record. Guinness Book of World Records was at the ref today measuring how loud fans could get.
By the way, is this like Buffalo Bird?
Yes.
Like, the reading is just...
I'm thinking this is weekend filling Bird.
That's not fair. Buffalo Nick, not Buffalo Bird.
Okay.
Or Buffalo Nick.
The loudest NFL stadium record. Guinness Book of World Records was at the ref today measuring how loud fans could get. And Bills fans count that 124 decibels. The Kansas City Chiefs fans at Arrowhead Stadium still hold the world's record at 142.2 decibels. But despite these devastating blows, Bills fans still brought the energy. All right, now I did a little comparison between Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City and Ralph Wilson Stadium here in Buffalo. Arrowhead holds about 7,000 more fans than the Ralph. Many experts suggest the way the Bills Stadium is structured doesn't hold as much sound as the stadium there in Kansas City. Maybe officials from the Guinness Book of World Records can better explain why we didn't make it in the book. They will be on the 7 Eyewitness News new morning show live from the Ralph starting at 5 a.m.
Right. It's Buffalo Nick.
Hey, it's Nick from...
we found Buffalo Nick.
That's right. I had pretty serious health care... hold on.
Oh, my God.
God. That was, hang on, listen to how he wraps it up. This is somebody actually on the, like, ABC News there.
Maybe officials from the Guinness Book of World Records can better explain why we didn't make it in the book.
That's right.
Would you rather sit down?
Yeah.
Yes, I would rather sit down.
Seb, your consultation at...
Just Seb up.
If time... Oh, I'm not supposed to read that.
Okay. Good old Buffalo Nick. I just love that. They had this whole thing. It's like, we're going to have Guinness. Guinness is going to be here. We're going to be the loudest stadium. I was like, no, not by a long shot. You're not even close
to
being the loudest stadium. Sorry about that. All right. We got Brandon Merriweather. He is going to join us for our Merriweather Mondays. Hopefully he will be here. The first week we knew because he was tweeting about it that he would be there, but he has been years past.
No, he's calling.
Okay,
he's going to call.
All right, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we shall see. All right, 617-779-0985. Let's get to Brandon Merriweather right off the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.